God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In Paul's letter to the Romans, in chapter 5, which is not what we read this week, but in chapter 5, Paul talks about salvation. Paul talks about how salvation is granted. And for Paul, it's all about grace. It's all about the grace and mercy of God. And the best quote that I have ever heard, and I don't know if he was talking about Paul or just being sarcastic, because Mark Twain was always sarcastic. Mark Twain, who was not especially religious, as far as I could tell, caught it perfectly when he once said, "Heaven goes by favor. If it went by merit, your dog would get in and you would stay out." It's all about grace. And Paul, in his letter, is explaining to people what it means to live by grace. Paul is talking about what it means to live in the light of the forgiveness of God. Now he starts out with a question. And that question talks about sin. And that question talks about grace and sin. Grace washes away our sins. Grace gives us God's mercy. Grace, the unmerited favor of God, gets us into heaven. And so a very human question would be, well, if grace is so good, shouldn't we just continue sinning so we can get more grace?
Chapter 6.
And it may sound odd to us, but when you start thinking about all of the characters and all of human nature, it really doesn't sound that odd. Think about everyone's favorite parable, the prodigal son. So the son runs off, loses everything, comes back, wanting to live, is basically a hired hand. And what happens? The father forgives him. The father invites him back. The father kills the fatted calf, throws a party. Come up a few weeks later, and you're the younger son. And somewhere along the line, things were going, you know, my father's thrilled to have me back. My older brother's beginning to tolerate me. Had a great time before I ran out of money. Maybe I'd take a few sheep, sell them, run off again, have a great time, and come back and go through it all again. Maybe I'll get another party. Well, my father's already showed that he'll forgive me. Why shouldn't I just do that? If you think that's absurd, you don't know much about human nature. Because human nature would latch onto that. There are people who talk about forgiveness. And there are people who talk about the fact that the only word that the church should ever talk about is forgiveness. And it's true. But understand something. Even though God will continuously forgive, what does it do to our relationship with him? If the son runs off again, the father may just forgive. Probably forgive. But the relationship is damaged on both parts. Paul is talking about sin, but he's also talking about salvation. He's talking about what we are after we are baptized, what we are after we come to faith. And I think for Paul, when he talks about anything, everything's based in scripture for Paul. And the scripture for Paul, of course, is the Old Testament. And when Paul is talking about baptism, I think he has in mind the work of God in the Exodus. The work of God when he sent Moses to the Israelite, to the Hebrew children, to say to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Moses sent them to free them. And at one point, finally, Pharaoh says, "Just go." And they all start going out. And then they get to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh says, "I want them back. Those are my slaves. I own them. They should either be killed or come back into slavery." And he sends his Pharaoh, sends his army, he's probably at the lead, going out to return his slaves. I don't even think he thinks of return. I think he just thinks, those are mine. I don't have to return them to slavery. They are in slavery. And what happens? They get to the Red Sea. God guards and blocks Pharaoh from entering. The sea parts, and the slaves go through the Red Sea. They go through into the other side on dry land. They go through the river and come out on the other side, and the river collapses onto Pharaoh and his chariots and destroys them. And what happens, though, to the people as they stand and watch all of this on the other side? What do they finally truly realize? They have changed. Their very nature has changed. They are no longer slaves. They are no longer the lowest of social class, the lowest of people, people without rights. They are free men and women standing on the other side. They have been freed by the power and the mighty arm of God. That's what Paul thinks about baptism. That in the waters of baptism we go down. It doesn't really work if you think about nice little Anglican baptism, especially if you watch those old PBS things where the rector's there holding the baby and he dips his finger in and gently touches the forehead three times, because God forbid that the family christening gown should get wet. It only works really with a nice, messy Baptist baptism, where you go out into the water. Well, the only one I ever took part in, into the swimming pool. And you go down three times into the water. And as I was taking part, I was remembering those old things, that old thing that people used to say, if you were drowning in the water, you only can get up three times, right? And the third time, you're going to go down, you're never coming up again. Yeah. And you go into the water, and Paul says, it's like dying. You go in and you die with Christ as you go down. But the amazing thing is, you don't stay dead. You come up. Just like the Israelites went through the river, you come up and you end up on the other side, because you see, you symbolically die and you symbolically rise to live with God, to be part of the people of God, to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You go down and you rise, and everything's fine, right? Never have another problem again. If you believe that, I have a few bridges I can show you that are for sale. Once you have been baptized, you have found your life with the risen Lord. After that comes a process which is known as sanctification. A process in which you learn to be and live out that salvation of God. You know, the promise of God is eternal life, right? How many many people think that starts the day you die? Because it doesn't. It starts the day you confess faith in God. When you realize that, yes, this is my Lord, this is my God, this is my Savior. You're on the road. You are already granted eternal life. And the rest of your earthly life is learning how to live in that grace, learning to live in that God, in that forgiveness. But yet, it's kind of like a wonderful story I read this week about a group of people living in a house, a family, living together in a house owned by the worst landlord in the world. And they're living there, and without notice, the landlord will smash open the door, demanding this, demanding that, demanding more rent, demanding more money, demanding that they do this, demanding anything in the house that he wants. And with the threat, don't give it to me, you're going out on the street. And everyone in the family lives in fear, fear of the landlord coming in. Except one day, somebody finds out about this. Nice man comes in and says, people shouldn't live like this. People shouldn't be living in fear. How much do you owe the landlord? Here's a check. Pay it. Now, pack up everything. Come with me. This is your new house. In fact, we're even going to go across the river, so you're going to be far away from the landlord as you can get. And you do. And you move in. And you're happy, and it's good, and it's free, and everything's wonderful. Until the old landlord shows up. Kicks in the door. And like good human beings, we just go right back. We just went right back to what they were. The landlord wants food. They run to the refrigerator. They're getting him food. He wants money. They're running to the bank to get him money. But then finally, one of the people in the family looks up and says, wait a minute. Why are we doing this? You're not our landlord. We've been freed. The gentleman who paid you off freed us. You know what? You get out. And if you don't, I'm calling the police. And just like all bullies, what do you think he did? Run out. That's our life after baptism. We are freed from the slavery of sin, but we have to remember one thing. Who's going to show up again? The old landlord. The old devil. And he's going to tell you, no, God's good. God will forgive anything. Have a little fun. Have a little life. Go. Be yourself. Great word for today in this day and age. Go be yourself. You don't have to worry about God. Martin Luther, when he thought he was in the grip of temptation, used to proclaim out loud, I have been baptized. He said it was amazing. The devil left. And he also reminded himself what he was, a free man in Christ. That's what Paul is talking about. That's what Paul wants us to know. We are free, free to live in God, freedom from the slavery of sin, free to live as God's people. Coming ever closer to God, coming ever closer to that wonderful gift of God's eternal life. We have the promise. God will come through. God will deliver. And all we need to remember is the words of Luther. I have been baptized. I am free. By the grace of God to live in peace and happiness, away from the slavery of sin, away from the old Adam, and live in the new Adam, Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. In the name of that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.